Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
It's nice to see you all. Jonah chapter 2 is where we're turning today. We're going to continue the study we really began on Tuesday past in this chapter 2. We read all of the chapter just to set before you what was happening and what is taking place in this chapter. Unseen by the eyes of men, because he's way down there in the depths of the sea, there was a secret working going on in the heart of Jonah. And the Lord was working in his heart and turning Jonah round. For you remember, he had been running away. Well, you know, boys and girls, the Lord won't allow his people to run away. He won't. Sometimes when we're out on the road, traveling, we may come across sheep on the road or cattle on the road that have broken out of the field. What do? We carefully drive through them and continue on our journey. We might make a comment or two. Oh, there's somebody's cattle out on the road. I wonder, do they know? But we drive on because they're not ours. They're not ours. Now, perhaps if we know who is the owner, we might take a moment or two to phone them or something like that and say, hey, your cattle is out on the road, your sheep are out on the road. But because they're not ours, we don't really stop and do anything. But if the farmer came and saw his cattle on the road, oh, he doesn't drive on. He stops immediately and he begins to get them back into the field because he cares for them. He values them. They're his. Well, it's the same with the Lord. When he sees one of his has broken out of the field, he doesn't ignore them, but he sets about getting them back into the field. And that's what the Lord is doing here with Jonah. Jonah has strayed, broken out. And now the Lord's getting him back to where he ought to be. I'm going to be looking today, though I have a sort of a feeling I'm not going to get through all that I'd hoped to do, but we'll see. I'm going to be looking today at a subject that if I were in any other school, I wouldn't be allowed to speak about. I'm going to be talking for a few minutes at the beginning before we go on to the actual study of this chapter. I'm going to be talking about chastisement. Chastisement. I'm going to be talking about what should happen to wee boys and girls when they do wrong. Today, boys and girls, out there in the world, there has been a total abandoning. You know what that means. A total casting away, throwing away, wanting nothing more to do with the Bible. And mummies and daddies have done that. And then when they're raising their children, because they have thrown the Bible away, they don't know how to raise their children. You might not have seen too many examples of children who are being raised without the teaching of the Bible in force in their home. You mightn't have seen much of that. Well, of course, the shops have been all closed for a long time now, but when you do get back again to going with mum to the big store, you'll see little boys and girls kicking up a row, having tantrums, rolling about on the floor, kicking and screaming, and mum not knowing what to do. And that's an example of a child that has been deprived of the discipline God says should be exercised in that child's life. I'm going to take the time to turn you to a New Testament book, the book of Hebrews. And you older ones can look it up. I want you to look it up, and I want you to look at the verse and read it and learn just what it is the Lord is saying. It's Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse 6. Now you listen to this. Please, you listen and look, look and listen. Hebrews 12 verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So how do you know whether or not God loves a person? You will know it because he takes the rod to them now and again when they need it. That's what the big word chastening means, to correct. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. Oh, do you know what that means? That's a big word. Do you know that before the Lord Jesus was crucified, they scourged him? They beat him with whips. Now, the Lord doesn't actually take a whip to his children, but he can intervene in their lives in such a way as to bring them trouble that feels like a whip. Do you not think poor old Jonah felt something very severe? Do you not think he went through agonies of mind and very severe discomforts in his body as God took a dealing with him because of his backsliding and disobedience? So, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son. There's a word for the boys. God scourges every son. Because sons especially. Now we girls need it now and then, but sons especially need dealing with and chastening. If ye endure chastening, the next verse says, God dealeth with you as with sons. He's not dealing with you as enemies or those he hates. He's dealing with you as those he loves. Just as the farmer we were talking about a few minutes ago, when he finds the cattle straying, he opens the gate, gets behind them, and maybe he has a bit of a stick with him and he hit one or two of them a bit of a whack on the rump to encourage them back through the gate. Isn't that what happened? He's doing that because he cares for them. He doesn't want them to be injured by some car coming round the corner at speed and running into them. He's taking steps to get them into safety and to urge them to get in, and he uses a stick sometimes. This is what we're taught here about the Lord. He dealeth with us as sons when he scourges us. He's not dealing with us as someone who hates us, but as someone who loves us. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Now you boys here, especially, maybe when you do wrong, and Dad or Mum hears about it, and they give you a bit of a scolding, and after it off you go smiling to yourself, I didn't get the stick. Don't think that's a good thing. You should have got the stick. Because if you had, you'd remember not to do wrong. You'd remember it. So, I'm going to be looking at how the Lord dealt with Jonah and corrected Jonah. Just remember this, boys and girls, as we read what took place in the life of Jonah as he's swallowed by the whale. God is dealing with someone he loves. Dealing in love. Dealing in love. Oh, I tell you, we all need to be chastened. Not one of us, but needs to be chastened. Because we're inclined to go astray and do wrong. And it's a blessed thing to be chastened, rather than allowed to go on in our sin. All need it, but Sadly, very few get it. Among the boys and the girls in the world today, very, very few of them are dealt with as they need to be dealt with. And that's why we have increasing crime and lawlessness. You don't read the newspapers, I'm sure, but if you did, you would discover that it is becoming ever more common for young people to be brought to court for killing someone. I mean, 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, killing someone. Now why? Because they weren't disciplined. They got away with smaller sins and wrongs. And because of that, they thought they could do greater sins and wrongs and get away with it. So when wrong is not dealt with, it only produces more wrong. And that's what's happening in our society today. There's no discipline in the home. And out of the home there comes law-breaking children who grow up into teenagers, who grow up into adults, and they're getting worse and worse and worse in their defiance of the law and what's right. Oh, it's a good thing to have the hand of God upon us and chastening. Do you know, in India today, you may have heard about this, there are hundreds of thousands of people suffering from the COVID virus. Hundreds of thousands. And outside the hospitals that there are in India, there are thousands of people trying to get in, trying to get their loved ones who are sick treatment, and they can't. They can't. They want the cure. They want the medical help, but they can't get it. There's just not enough nurses, not enough doctors, not enough medicine to go round. And boys and girls, to be deprived of the medicine of God for sin and wrongdoing is a very sad thing. God in mercy then is dealing with Jonah, and it's a very sore lesson that old Jonah had to endure. It was his own fault, of course. He had brought it on himself. But backsliding is not easily cured. The medicine is very bitter sometimes that you have to take. Let me first and foremost point out to you that as a result of what Jonah endured here, as it is recorded in the chapter 2, he was restored to holiness and obedience and walking with God. You see, boys and girls, God, when he chastens his people, he does it in order to promote holiness and get them to turn from their sin. All that Jonah experienced, and we're not going to get too far in our study, I have taken so much time in the introduction, but all that Jonah had suffered came from the hand of God. Oh, I know. It was the sailor's big rough hands that took hold of him and threw him overboard. But they did it at the direction of God. God was behind that. It was God. And Jonah began to recognize this as we read through chapter 2. It was God at work when that happened. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3 of Jonah chapter 2. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Do you see who it is he knows was the cause of this all? Thou hast cast me into the deep. Oh yes, the sailor's hands were involved, but it was God at work. God at work. And Jonah realized the circumstances he now found himself in were of God. It was God taking and dealing with him. The deep sufferings and they were deep, that Jonah endured were part of the recovery that God was seeking to work in his life, recovering him from his backsliding and from his going astray. And do you know what you'll not find in chapter 2? Not one word of complaint by Jonah. You'll not find in chapter 2 Jonah saying, "Why did you do this? Why did you give me all this trouble?" No, because Jonah realized he had gone astray. And if God hadn't have acted as he did, he'd still be going astray and heading into deeper and deeper and deeper sin and eventually terrible trouble. So he's not complaining, but rather he's glad that God in mercy took a stick or a rod, as the Bible speaks of, and applied it in chastening to him. I've heard many a testimony in my days, boys and girls. I have heard adults speak about when they were young and in their homes and the discipline that there was in their home. I have never heard one Christian say, "I resent what my father did or my mother did." But rather they said, "I'm glad that I was disciplined. I'm thankful for the hand of my father and occasionally my mother upon me in punishment for my wrongdoing. It was a good thing." Oh yes, Jonah doesn't complain here in chapter 2. Oh, that you might learn this. All of you submit to your father and to your mother. And if they find it necessary to put you over their knee and give you a bit of a tanning, as we say, it mightn't be pleasant, and God acknowledges that in Hebrews chapter 12. It mightn't be pleasant while the stinging is going on, but you remember this, it has been for my good. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we ask thee to take these words and write them on the hearts of the boys and the girls. I write them on all of our hearts, Lord, for to the day we die we will be subject to chastening if God deals with us as sons and daughters. For Lord, we are sinners, we go astray, and we need thy hand upon us in discipline. Oh, help us to submit. Bless your word to us all then. Bless the school today and all its needs. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.